Welcome. You are listening to a multi-part podcast series on the history of Dominican University of California, presented by Campus Ministry. This series has been organized by Sister Mary Sower and is made possible through the joint effort of Campus Ministry, the Communications Department, and Penguin Radio.
So welcome everyone to the 2018 Fall Heritage and History Lecture Series, sponsored by Campus Ministry. I'm Sister Mary Sower, the Director of Campus Ministry. Dominican theologian Edward Skillebecs wrote that the story of Dominicans can only be kept alive by live Dominicans. And we at Campus Ministry believe in the gift of storytelling. And so today we come to tell our story. And our storyteller is Michael Henkes. Michael was first hired at Dominican College as the grounds manager, and 3 years later became the associate director of facility services. Over the next 22 years, he would actively participate in the growth of the campus facilities from the 1994 installation of the new soccer field to the renovations of Meadowlands Hall in 2015. We asked Michael to share his story because of the beauty we see each day and in every step that we take anywhere on this campus. So welcome, Michael, and we look forward to hearing your Dominican story about your time here and how you had to change.
Thank you, Sister. It is a story about my changing as a person on being here. But to know how I changed, you also need to know what I was like before I got here. So we're going to start with that. How did I get here in the first place? But before that, I'll look at my notes. Sister asked me to weave in the concept of the four pillars as I talk about my story. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with the four pillars. I'll see a set of hands who are familiar. A few. Okay, well, the four pillars would best be explained by a Dominican sister, I believe. But it's part of the, I wouldn't know about foundation of the Dominican tradition, faith, teachings. The four pillars are study, reflection, community, and service. So we'll start with that. That's on a foundation. Most pillars have a footing that they stand on. These are pillars. So in my mind, it should be have a footing. But they don't stand alone. They're all together. So these four pillars are on a foundation. That they all stand on. If we have time later, we'll talk about my idea of that foundation. But first, let's talk about how I got here. Well, story goes back in time about 45 years. To the mid-1970s, I was going to school at Sonoma State University. My wife and I were attending school there, and we had the pleasure of being caretakers on a private estate while we were students. And she had an idea that she was going to be a college professor. And I had no idea of what I was going to be. I studied art, I studied sciences, and I kept thinking, what am I going to do? And I decided, I'll be a gardener at the university that my wife is teaching at, so we have more time together. So I started thinking about that. And then, oh, here's where I have pictures. Moving forward, in 1991, time moves fast here in this story, Janaea, my wife and I, were in Tucson, Arizona. We've been there for 9 years. She was teaching at the University of Arizona in Tucson, and I was working at the Arizona Inn, a historic hotel there, taking care of the buildings and the grounds. Mostly the grounds. It was a little bit difficult for me at times because I really cared about the gardens and I had lots of flowers there. And I'd come back after a weekend of parties and celebrations and it looked like people didn't care for the gardens. And I was wondering. And then that happened for a while, and then At one point, one of the long-term guests came up and said to me, "Your gardens is food for my soul." And that struck me, that it touched one person. The care and the detail I gave to the garden struck a person. And that influenced me quite a bit to continue with gardening. I was going to retire there at that hotel. I loved it there, they loved me. But we got a call from California to the place where we were caretakers when we were going to school. And they asked us to come back and be caretakers again for the last years of the woman's life. So we did. We packed up and we came back to California. No more cactus. I did that too soon. Anyway, the following year, we were settled in, and on a Sunday afternoon drive, we decided to drive through Marin County. We got lost, and we were driving up over the hills, up behind the campus here, and then came down, and then came down the road on the side. We saw Santa Sabina. We saw the Edge Hill Mansion, and then drove through campus, and I got very excited, and I wondered, is this the place I had been visualizing for the last 20-some years? Because I wanted to work at a college campus, and this just felt special. It felt spiritual. It felt exciting. We wondered, basically, what is this place? So we started doing some research on it. And at the same time that we came through, that was 92, Dominican campus had around 670 students. They did not have any concrete sidewalks. They had gravel paths and asphalt paths. The lighting was very poor. There was no grounds manager. There were two gardeners, virtually unmanaged and very poorly equipped to take care of the task. As written by the vice president of finance at the time, the college grounds, which had incredible potential, had been neglected and allowed to deteriorate. So they were going to be looking to turn that around. Many people on the campus, including some sisters, were complaining to administration about the condition of the campus. The vice president of finance started taking names, and he put those names on a search committee. So he invited all the people who were complaining about the campus to find someone to take care of it. So several weeks after Janae and I had discovered Dominican, the position of grounds manager was posted in the paper. Of course, I applied. I actually thought this place needed me. I was called in for an interview, and a few of those names at the interview table were Sister Samuel Conlon, Sister Aquinas, Sister Alicia, Sister Marguerite, Sister Frances DeSales. There were many others too, but I can't remember everyone who was there. Well, you know I got hired, but Janaea did not. The thing about setting goals is that they get you started, they get you going in a particular direction. And once you get going, you discover you get what you need, not necessarily what you thought you needed. The sisters were not only a part of the team that hired me, they remained in committee, and I reported to them. They were my bosses. Each of them had a different part of campus that they were concerned about, and they wanted it taken care of in very particular detail. I think we met once a week. It probably felt like that. It was probably once a month. And they always had something new that they needed me to do. And they kept, after a while, we moved on to every 6 weeks, and then 8 weeks. And finally, the committee dissolved itself, and they were happy just to let me alone and let me do the gardening. I had a special relationship with each of them, as after that, after those meetings, we just met on campus and talked. I came to Dominican with a positive perspective that life should be chiefly service to all of our community circles. I understood that aspect of the four pillars. I wanted to give service to Dominican by improving and caring for the grounds. I knew enough about the earth and plants that I thought I could do this. I viewed the landscape as a living space, each area a living room, a room for reflection, for study, for socializing, and for competition. I also thought I could spend my time gardening with my mind held in prayer, practicing the presence, as Brother Lawrence used to say. My time would be of service to the community and in reflection and prayer. That was my ideal. I thought that would be a perfect job for me. I did not even consider a lifetime of study. I thought that studying was something you did when you were young. I had done that already. I didn't want to do any more. It's not for me. God had other plans, lots of plans. And I had to learn a lot. My very first assignment My very first assignment was to install a bench. This is a Shoecraft bench. There was a professor at the university named Shoecraft, passed away. So I showed up and the bench was here and they said, we need this bench installed and trees planted around it. So I came up with the idea of where it would go and how to do that and then to plant some trees. And I thought, remember the photograph of Arizona where it was a lot of cactus? Okay, I hadn't planted a redwood tree before. I planted cactus. So I had to figure out how to do that. So I had to study. I got out some books, how do you plant a redwood tree? And the best thing I came up with was they said, get a bag of cow manure, dig a hole, put it in the bottom, put a little soil on top, put the tree in. Okay, I did that. And it's hard to see in this picture, but the three trees in the center are the three trees that I planted back when I started here in 92. It's hard for me to look at a tree that big and think that I planted it. So when given work assignments, of which there were many, they were usually something I had never done before. I always felt inadequate to the task. People around me just didn't understand I was a gardener. I would think to myself, I've never done anything like this before. Are you sure you have the right person? I thought it crazy that they would ask me to do those things that would normally be done by designers, engineers, and architects. This is a picture of a bridge leading to Penguin Field. This was another one of my very first assignments after the bench. We had no soccer teams here in the early 90s, and they wanted to bring soccer to the campus. So they needed a soccer field. So I put in a soccer field, but we needed a bridge to go to it. The bridge that was there was sort of decrepit. It was do we know what a culvert is? It's a large pipe that goes in the creek, and then it was filled with earth over the top of it. And so it was there for I don't know how long, but as you would walk to the bridge, then you'd walk downhill to maybe 3 or 4 feet, and then back uphill again to get to the other side. So we needed a bridge that was more flat. I had never put in a bridge before, of course. And so I needed to figure out how to do that. I did a lot of research and thinking about it, and finally ordered a bridge. It came, and we put it in, and we have that there now. The thing I did not do was remove the old bridge. It was still underneath this one. It was so low, it didn't matter. But I was really concerned about it, because over time, I thought, that old bridge is going to collapse at some point, and the water's going to back up, and when it comes over, it's going to make a mess. But I wasn't too concerned about it until they built Kennelly Field and then put in the new tennis courts. And then, which was in, anybody have the date? 2012. So I said, I need to take that other bridge out, because at some point that's going to go. I waited another year and I said, we're taking it out this year. So I had a company come, take out the boards in the bridge, reach down with an excavator, and they excavated down as far as they could to get out the soil, and we put rocks on the side. The following winter, storm came and washed it out. So I felt very fortunate that that happened, that I was able to dig that out before that happened. Okay, that's an interesting story, I thought. Okay, in 1994, Dominican created a campus development plan. It was a plan for installing new sidewalks, accessible ramps, lighting, and signage. We were also putting in 4-inch conduits through the campus that carried the data fiber lines, and also water lines for irrigation. This was a conceptual plan that was approved by the neighbors in the city. Conceptual plan means that they had no details of how it was to be accomplished. So they gave it to me and said, it's you can now put in all new sidewalks and lighting throughout the campus. So I had to do, again, a lot of studying and a lot of talking to other people to figure out exactly how to do this. There was an awful lot going on, and a prayer I often used here at Dominican was, Dear Father, whatever conditions confront me, I know that they represent the next step in my unfoldment. It gave me a little bit of peace and courage, and then it goes on, I will welcome all tests because I know that within me is the intelligence to understand and the power to overcome. I use this prayer often, especially the first part. The second part, the welcoming of tests, was a struggle for me to accept. I didn't welcome them very well. And also it was difficult that within I did have what it takes to succeed. But I have learned that when you visualize and you affirm something for enough years, it begins to be a part of you. As Sister Mary had mentioned, in my third year here, I was asked to be associate director. I hesitated. I understood what it would take to be a good manager of people. I also understood that I was truly lacking in that category. I wanted to be a gardener. I kindly said, no, thank you. And then the conversation continued. I was told I was going to be given all the duties of the associate director. And so I might as well take the title and the pay increase. I realized it was one of those gifts from God to help me grow. But I thought, I wanted to remain the grounds manager. I would accept the new position if I could stay in that role as well. And then I got books on managing. I needed to study more. I now had two full-time positions. For the next 7 years, I continued on. In 2002, we were completing Edge Hill Village, the construction of the new dormitories, and ready to move on to renovations at Edge Hill Mansion and starting plans for building the Science Center. At that time, it was all too much for me. So I had to think about it and then give up the position of grounds manager. I thought it would be the best thing for Dominican and actually the best thing for myself. Sort of letting go of that thing which I was so much attached to, wanting to be a gardener. In the role as associate director, almost every assignment given to me called on my rational and creative abilities and stretched my being. I had to study. There was no way around it. I gathered as much information as I could on whatever the subject. I asked for help, usually in the form of a prayer, and then I waited for a picture to come into my mind, or maybe an intuitive realization of how to proceed. I waited, sometimes a long time. But then, once a vision came, I always had plenty of energy and help from the outside to create a gathering space, a grove of trees, a curving sidewalk. I have a note, I also, another note, prayer, it helped me through all my struggles. It reads, "The things that happen to us do not matter. What we become through them does. Each day, accept everything as coming to you from God, and each night, give it back into His hands." I've been involved with so very many physical changes to the campus, one no more important than the other. Some will outlast others, and some are already gone. About the pictures I wanted to mention, Sister asked me to do this presentation after I had retired and I no longer had access to a lot of the campus pictures. So that's why you haven't seen too many so far. And I don't have a picture of this, and that's probably a good idea, but this is one of my most embarrassing experiences here at Dominican I thought I would share with you. In the early years, I did not study what it was I was going to do when I did something new. And this is a good example of that. The students wanted to put in a volleyball court. This is way before Edge Hill Village. That site was a eucalyptus area, but in the center of it was fairly level. And the students wanted to put a volleyball court up there. And one of the students' father had a quarry, and he was going to provide the sand. So they wanted a border around it. And there was a forest of eucalyptus trees. So I decided, well, why not cut down eucalyptus trees, nice and straight, and have them create the border, fill it with the sand, and you've got a great volleyball court. Good idea. So we found a perfect eucalyptus tree. It was very straight, very tall, started cutting it down. And just about before it started to go, the wind came up, took it the other direction, opposite, which meant it fell this way toward the road. Closed the road, took out the power lines, took out the power to Santa Sabina, Calarega, Library, Penafort, and Fanjo. After that, I was told not to cut any more large trees, but to have someone else do that. Lesson learned, I needed to study more. And I also thought, one of the problems was, I thought I could do this. I could do this on my own. So I didn't ask for help. I didn't pray for help. So, lesson learned there. I'm not sure where we are in the slides, but I think we're okay. I would like to say a word about Sister Marguerite. I heard recently that she passed away. Sorry for your loss. And I also want to say I celebrate the joy that she experienced in her life. That always came across to me, that she was so joyful. It was 22 years ago today that we dedicated the Library Plaza in honor of the Sister Marguerite's legacy to Dominican. In the program for the ceremony, it reads, "She built a library for the future, which opened a pathway to knowledge." This was in 1963, 33 years later after the building was built. I was asked to put in the plaza and was very inspired from working with her to do so. As you see, this is the front entrance of the library. I came up with the idea of extending the design of the building into the landscape to have it come out more. And so if you notice the difference in the textures of the between the wood and the glass and the design of the wood. And in the concrete, I tried to reflect that with the two different surfaces, between the smooth and the rough, between the wood and the glass, and also the design is very similar. Bless you. I was very inspired. I thought this came out really, really well. So I thought I could do this again. So I tried at the front of Angelico. And I thought, well, here, I tried, there was so much going on here and tried to relate it all together. And there's one curve, one arch to relate to all the arch windows. And then the joints in the tile relate to the pillars. I thought the library came out a lot better than this one. This is too far away. In 2002, this tree was planted in front of Calrega Plaza. It was dedicated to Sister Aquinas. The dedication plaque reads, "Duty, Devotion, and Beyond." I guess you can see that here. After Sister's passing, we dedicated the garden at the back of Calaruega, Bertrand Hall. I easily get the buildings mixed up here, so forgive me with that. Dedicated the garden in her memory. This is part of the garden. And this is the patio in the back, which has the new concrete and new benches. Again, sorry if I, these are just the pictures I happen to have at home, so putting together what I have. Sister Aquinas gave me a lot of ideas for the garden, and she gave me dogwood trees to plant. So this one, that's a dogwood tree in the center there, big tall one. It's a white dogwood. This is my favorite. It's in front of Meadowlands. And just to the west of the dogwood tree, I planted a red western cedar. I planted it so that it would grow up and shade the dogwood in the afternoons. I didn't study this one very well. The dogwood tree grew very fast, and the cedar is growing very slow. So we'll have to see in the future how they're doing, but right now the dogwood's doing very well. Okay, also near Meadowlands are two Dawn Redwood trees. They also go by the name of Meta Sequoia. They are a deciduous conifer. Conifer is a cone-bearing tree, like a pine tree, and there's very few that drop all their needles for the winter. This particular tree, type of tree, was thought to be extinct. And then in the mid-1940s, it was found in China. I believe there are these two trees that are over by Meadowlands. If you know where the child and dog statue is, they're right near that. I believe they were planted in the late 40s or 1950. And personally, I believe they came from Sister Aquinas' family, as they would be provided her with a number of plants to put on campus. Sister Samuel loved the Don Redwood trees. I'm not sure why, maybe because they were unique or that they struggled to survive. A lot of times, there was a drought before I got here in the 1980s where they stopped watering the lawns and were watering everything, and the trees really suffered for that. And the tops of those trees started to die, and when I got here, I had to take them off. One of them recovered pretty well, the other one is doing fine. But this was her favorite tree. In 1995, the students wanted to honor Sister Samuel, and I was asked to what to plant. Well, that was an easy question. I would plant a Don Redwood tree. It was her favorite. And so to honor Sister, in the center there, and just across in the background is Bertrand Hall. That is a Don Redwood tree. We planted it so it could be seen from the door of her office, which was in Anne Hathaway. Okay, in the background of the dogwood trees, you saw Meadowlands. So now I have a few before and after shots. This is Meadowlands before. It does show the dogwood tree and the western cedar. And this is Meadowlands after renovations. The western cedar is actually there, just out of the photograph. But the trees in the front, the larger trees in the front, all had to be taken out for construction, and we replanted. We also replaced a number of bridges. This is the bridge between Anne Hathaway and San Marco. You can see how it was eroding out. It had this support beam in the center, and the creek was just washing out the support beam. So we replaced that bridge with this one that goes all the way across, spans the creek. A lot of the bridges on campus had that culvert with the soil over the top, and branches would come down and clog that culvert, but still allow some water to go through, and the water would back up, but it would start swirling like it does in a drain, and that swirling motion would eat out at the soil that was building the bridge. And that's how a lot of the bridges got washed out. So the next bridge, I should have put this up first. There's a culvert right there you see on the left, the pipe, and it's just filled up with soil. And then the bridge above that. That was the bridge leading to Meadowlands. Okay, and that one we replaced when Meadowlands was renovated, with the bridge that expands the creek. Actually, on this slide, you don't see it very well. But anyway, the creek flows easily through there. Okay, going back to the campus development plan, I just want to talk about the sidewalks on campus. I'm sorry, there's one more. Something you guys can relate to. This is the front of the rec center. It opened up in 2000. And you can see all the eucalyptus trees across the front. I don't have an after shot of that, but you can walk over there and take a look. And I believe there are two left. The neighbors did not want any of the trees removed because they didn't want to see the building. So we planted redwood trees against the building, and they said when the redwood trees get tall enough, you can remove the trees. But the eucalyptus trees were taking all the sun and the water, so the redwood trees were not growing. So I worked with people, and we said, well, how about if we take out this one and this one and this one to allow light to come in to get those trees to grow? So slowly, over time, it was a big project, but we took out all the trees. And now the redwoods are up tall, covering the building, and it's a lot safer over by the bus stop. So, I was just wondering how we're doing on time, but I will.
We're good.
I'm good? Okay. I wanted to mention about
the. Leave a little time for questions.
Little time for questions? Okay. There's a little story about the sidewalks on campus. This is entitled, I'm not sure if it's the last shall be first or the first shall be last. Does anybody know the proper biblical term on that one? Anyway, I noticed on campus in the last couple of years that I was doing things over again. Things were coming full circle. And one of them was the very first sidewalk I put in on campus was over at Meadowlands. The sisters were very, the committee was very reluctant to have a concrete sidewalk. They didn't want anything looking new. I didn't know anything about sidewalks. So again, I had to do some research on that. And I suggested, well, finally, it was a we were able to do one portion of sidewalk. It had a special color to it. It was darkened. It has a certain size pebble to it to make it look older. And then we washed it once it was partially dry to expose all those pebbles. It makes it look like a sidewalk that's been there for 10, 20 years. And it was approved. So with that recipe, we had to follow that recipe for all the sidewalks throughout the campus. So that was a good thing. Another thing that happened again was the installation of Penguin Field. Remember that was, talked about the bridge? That was the first field I put in. And it was used for 18 years. It was our only field for practice and play, and it was way overused. And then we got a lacrosse team, so it was really getting worn out. We finally got the Kennelly Field put in, so the teams just moved over to there. And then I was asked to put in a softball field. I'd never put in a softball field, didn't know anything about softball. So again, I had some fun doing this research. I went to Google Maps, and I went and looked at softball fields all over the country. How are they done? And what I found was they're all done differently, depending on what space does a school have. Some of them have different sizes, but a field has to be a certain size, but it fits in all kinds of different places. And there was nothing uniform about any of them. So that gave me a sense of freedom to come up with, okay then, I can do mine and however I want. And so with the help of the buildings and grounds crew here at Dominican, we built the field over there. And again, that came full circle for me just before I left. I have now a category called Lost and Found. Things I lost on campus. I'm going to skip this one. I'm going to go to, there was in front of Meadowlands Hall, there was a giant sequoia tree planted back probably in the 1890s when the house was built. The giant sequoias, it's a type of redwood, but they grow in the foothills of the Cascades. Those mountains. Sierras, yes. Thank you. I'm from Oregon, so I think of Cascades. And when I got here on campus, the tree was sick. I knew it was sick, and I had conversations with it. I wanted it to last longer than I did here. It decided that wouldn't be the case. So I would do all kinds of things to try and keep the tree alive. Adding things to the soil, special sprays, different things, different times of years. The nursing program had a shaman come in to sort of introduce them to a different way of thinking about healing. So I went to the nurses and I said, can I use your shaman for the tree? And say, and they wanted to participate. So they took the shaman out to the tree, they blessed it and prayed for it. But it had its time and decided to go. So I lost that one. And we cut the tree down, and we took all the logs out to Forest Meadows. And they aged there for many years. And we started then, had a crew come in and mill them. And so one of the things that our building maintenance people did was they built this picnic table that's over by Albertus Magnus. So that was sort of a lost and found. So they not only built that table, then they heard, when they heard I was leaving, they decided to build this one for me. It's 20 feet long. They wondered where I would want it. So I said, just underneath the redwoods would be fine. And then, much to my surprise, just as I was leaving, this is at my house, but this is the bench that they gave to me personally, from the wood, from the tree. Another thing I found on campus, this is the found part, I found this bell. It was over in a storage room in Cala Ruega. And I wondered, how do I get this bell out of storage and onto campus? And I tried to figure out for years how to do that. And there was a lot of reluctance to bring out a bell, and how do you relate that to something? How to make it important? So then, I figured out how to do that. When we had a new president arrive at her inauguration, we decided to have the bell introduced to the campus. So everybody went into the building, and then we quietly moved the bell into place. And then when everybody came out, the bell was there, and we had a group of special, I don't know how they were picked, but freshmen, juniors, sophomores, and seniors, special of each class, they were ringing the bell. So that's what's happening there. So we got the bell out, and then I got permission to, we mounted it up here on the hill. Another thing I found was this pillar over at Cala Ruega. It was just a pillar. There was nothing on it at the time. And for years, I would look at it and was talking to one of the gardeners, Miguel. I don't know if you folks know him. He's a very sweet man. We were talking about it, and we decided to put a little statue there. So I went and got the statue, and he and I put it on there. So I thought that was a good find for the university. One of my most joyful experiences here on campus. No, not yet. Another thing I found were these tiles. These were in storage, up in facilities storage loft. And I thought, well, how do I get those out to the campus? And so once this building was renovated, it was all landscaped professionally. And then the deer came in and ate all the landscape. First night, they loved it. Roses, hydrangeas. I told them not to plant, but that's okay. Then I was asked to redo it. So I said, okay, great. So I took out a lot and planted it anew. And I thought, here's a chance for me to bring in the tiles. So I did. I worked with one of the carpenters, and he built the frame around it and put a little roof over it. And they're just outside the building here in the garden. Take a look on your way out. Let's see. Now for one of my most joyous experiences. This was pretty good, though. The statue of Mary over at Fanjo Courtyard. I got a call and said, Michael, we need to get the statue repaired. The fingers and thumbs were broken, and it was in sad shape. I said, okay, I'll find somebody to do that. So I called around and called around and called around. Couldn't find anybody willing to do that. What about ceramic students? The faculty, can't somebody take care of this? And nobody would do it. So in my calling around, I found people who knew how to do it. So I found out how to do it, and I decided I would try it. So, let's see. I had to work really slow, so I would come over at my break times in the morning, and I'd get at lunch. I'd put it on, and I'd have to carve it. It was like an epoxy, but it hardened very slowly. So I couldn't deal with it right away, but slowly I would have to then I could carve it and take pieces off. So this was kind of hard to see, but the lighter gray fingertips, those are all new there. And the thumb on that side is new. There's no thumbnail, and I did that on purpose because the statue does not have any fingernails either. So I just tried to keep it as plain as possible. And that's what she looks like. And it just gave me a lot of joy to work on the statue.